Kia ora. Welcome to Airman's Podcast, episode 311. Today is Friday, November 13th, 2015. And it was only just this moment that I realized that today is Friday the 13th. It had never occurred to me, not in the weeks leading up to today and not all day today. And that's just the way it is. I'm not a superstitious person in any manner, shape, or form. So it's not the sort of thing I generally take any notice of. But be that as it may. Hi, I'm back. How are you? Well, this episode is called Springy because the previous one that I actually posted is called Winterish. And the reason I make the distinction of an episode I actually posted is because this is the seventh time I've recorded this episode that I'm aware of over the past five and a half months or whatever it's been. And I think I might have done a couple more that I just recorded over rather than saving them as separate projects. And of those six previous finished episodes, I know that at least two I processed and was ready to post, but there was something in them I didn't like, and so I didn't. And so here we are. So much has changed since I last recorded, and not just seasons. We're coming up on summer in a couple of weeks or so. But that's, you know, only part of it. And actually, that actually relates back to that winterish episode, because I was talking about how the weather was winterish. Well, we are now springy, because we had a prolonged winter. The early parts of spring were really quite, what's what I'm looking for? Wintry? Spring was late in arriving, and it's only been in the past 3 weeks, maybe, that we've had some halfway decent weather. And now that we have had some halfway decent weather, I want more. And actually, this summer is going to be a hot and dry summer because of the El Nino phenomenon, which is going to affect us and Australia. Well, actually, the whole world. It's not just us. But for New Zealand, it makes it hot and dry. They're predicting droughts in parts of Canterbury, which is, of course, on the South Island, where those earthquakes happened, and other places. And Australia will have droughts as well, and they'll also have a worse bushfire season this year than is typically true. On the other hand, we're less likely to get cyclones for some reason. I don't know why, but apparently they're less likely. So I guess that's a good thing that comes from it. And anybody who wants to do things outside will probably enjoy having the hot, dry weather, and I'm one of those, especially because I can always retreat to my nice air-conditioned house and get away from it. Practicality. Well, as I said, so much has happened since I last recorded, and I'm not even entirely sure what to update on, or what things I should update. Last time I did talk a little bit about Australia and Tony Abbott. Well, he was rolled, and the new Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, is pro-marriage equality. He's also a Republican, lowercase r, thank you very much. However, he's not going to push marriage equality, because apparently, in order to get the backing of the more conservative members of the coalition, he had to promise that he wasn't going to bring it forward. So, yeah, one step forward, two steps back, or something, I don't know. So they're going to be delayed, at least until after the next election, which is next year. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. But Australia has been dominating our news in a roundabout sort of way, because they're holding 40 New Zealanders in the Christmas Island Detention Center, getting ready to deport them back to New Zealand. Now, those 40 people were mostly people who committed some sort of offense that resulted in a jail term of 12 months or more. Now, that doesn't mean that they committed a crime, as we would usually use that word. In some cases, it was traffic offense. In some cases, it was personal drug use, things that were not exactly harms to society, necessarily. But nevertheless, they were sentenced to 12 months, and that was enough under this current Australian government to get them deported. Now, the problem is that some of them have lived their entire lives in Australia. Their families are in Australia. They have no family in New Zealand, no connection to New Zealand. Some of them have never been here. And it is extremely cruel to deport them back to New Zealand just because they were born a New Zealand citizen and haven't been naturalized as an Australian citizen, which, by the way, isn't an easy thing to do, to become an Australian citizen. So it's been an unusual... It's been a difficult time for many of us in dealing with our cousins across the ditch. However, there's another aspect to that, and that's that our Prime Minister John Key, who some of us are beginning to refer to as the jackass in chief, has made a complete ass of himself in Parliament. He's been urged consistently to put pressure on the Australian government to respect the human rights of the detainees in Christmas Island. He's refused to do so. And then in Parliament the other day, he said that that Labor was supporting rapists and child molesters by backing the detainees at Christmas Island, which was highly offensive on so very many levels. None the least was that he was saying that they're all child molesters and murderers and other serious crimes. In point of fact, none of the New Zealanders held on Christmas Island were convicted of anything remotely similar to any of those sorts of serious crimes. They're all mostly minor things. I think there's a manslaughter in there, some assaults. They're not necessarily not serious crimes, but they're not murder or child molesters. Why he said that utterly baffled New Zealanders. And the next day, actually that day, several members of the Labour caucus walked out in protest. And the next day, the Speaker refused to order the Prime Minister to apologize. The Speaker is chosen by the majority party in Parliament, so he's a National Party MP. And he's in my sincerely held opinion, he's the worst Speaker that I've seen in the 20 years I've lived in New Zealand. And he's extremely partisan, extremely biased. I can't stand him. So he ruled that the Prime Minister didn't have to apologize, which led to protests. And then several women MPs from Labour and the Greens stood up and recounted their own cases of sexual abuse, and the Speaker threw them out. Ordered them to leave the House, I think is the actual phrase, but he threw them out of the House. And then several other Labour MPs walked out in protest with him, Green MPs too, I believe. And it was just an utter shambles. And then that made news around the world, and it's still making news. And then the next day, the Speaker just blithely carried on as if he was all just so sweetness and light. And the Prime Minister has doubled down on his remarks. He refuses to apologize, says he has no reason to. He stands by his remarks, even though it's now known that none of the New Zealanders are murderers, rapists, or child molesters. And he doesn't seem to understand the deep offense that he's caused to ordinary New Zealanders up and down the country. But this comes from a guy who has played fast and loose with misogyny. He had this fetish for pulling ponytails, and he got in trouble for doing that against, without women's consent or girls' consent, because sometimes he's done it to schoolgirls. And he also, his government has dramatically cut back funding for rape prevention, rape crisis centers, women's refuges, and all that sort of stuff. And in fact, I put a link to an interesting thing I saw online the other day about how bad his government's record is on these issues. I don't know where this is going to lead, to be honest, because there are a lot of people who are really pissed off at John Key. And the election, however, is still not, it's still the better part of 2 years away. It's not until probably November of 2017. So there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, and people's memories tend to be relatively short. And so if he can just hang on long enough, then he can get over it. On the other hand, if Nationals' poll ratings start dropping precipitously, there are a lot of ambitious MPs in his caucus, and one of them might try to roll them. And even if they don't succeed in toppling him as Prime Minister and leader of the National Party, it'll weaken him so much that it's inevitable that he will be rolled before the election. On the third hand, if he does survive all that, he'll probably be in there till the election. Not much of anything has stuck on him, not when he's been caught lying repeatedly, not when he goes into one of his irrational, offensive, lashing out attacks as he did this week about rapists and child molesters, which he does frequently. Whenever he's cornered in a mess that he's made and he can't get out of it, he lashes out in these irrational, bizarrely irrational attacks. No matter how many times he does this, no matter how many times he's caught lying, no matter how many times he's caught deceiving the New Zealand public, he gets away with it. His poll ratings remain high. His National Party remains high in the poll ratings. So if I was to bet what would happen, I would probably bet that it will all blow over within the next few weeks. I hope I'm wrong. I sincerely hope I'm wrong. But I just don't think that Kiwis are going to get upset enough to actually start to force change. But, you know, it's a long time between now and the election, as I said, and this is the most serious transgression he's had yet. And if there are others between now and the election, he will have a tough time winning another term for national, hopefully. But that's been what's dominating our news this week, and it's also led to one of the few times that New Zealand gets mentioned in international news. It often seems to happen that it's bad news that causes that, be that as it may. Oh well, what can I say? But closer to home, we've had a rough time this week as well. Actually, it was more last week, because our beloved Sunny, our fur baby Sunny, had a medical issue. It all started not this weekend, but the weekend before, the 31st, which, by the way, was our second wedding anniversary. We were going to a family wedding that night. And that morning, Sunny threw up, which isn't unusual for a dog. They do that sort of thing. And it doesn't necessarily mean anything serious, but it does mean that you should pay attention to their behavior to see if they're sick or if it's just something upset their stomach. And so I didn't feed them until we got home from the wedding, just to make sure she didn't erp up on the carpets again while we were away. And she didn't erp while we were away. But the next morning, or the next afternoon, actually, I think it was, she did again. And that night, Sunday night we're talking now, I went to bed early because I had a lot of work to do the following week. And I thought, well, if I go to bed early, I can get an early start. I woke up about 3 and she was fidgeting and she just couldn't settle. She'd stay in one position for a moment or two, and then she'd move around a little bit, and then she'd move around a little bit, and then it kept going on. So I sort of got up and tried to calm her down, and that worked for a little while. And then she started again. So then I kind of brought her up to the top of the bed and I cuddled her, and that calmed her down for a little while. And then she started again. And I didn't want to wake Nigel up because he was going to go to work, and I just assumed I was going to take her to the vet in the morning. And so we would just see how it went. I wanted him to get his sleep. And so he woke up about 5, I think, maybe a little bit before 5, and I told him what was going on. We decided to take her to the emergency vet. So he rang up the after-hours vet here in the area where we live, or not far from here, and woke the guy up. And he was saying, well, you can bring her in, but if she needs anything like x-rays or whatever, we can't do that until 8:30 when they open. I don't know who they was, but okay. So he rang the after-hours emergency vet hospital or whatever it's called in a part of Auckland called Mount Albert, which is on the other side of the city. It's attached to the Unitech campus where they train, I think, veterinary staff. You know, I don't know what they're not nursing. Not nurses exactly, but, you know, assistants, I think. I'm not really sure. But anyway, it's part of that campus. And so we took her there. We got there about 5 in the morning. And then, it's just past 5, I think. And so then they saw her. And they said that she was clearly in a lot of pain and had been, which is why she was so fidgety. And so they gave her pain relief. And they did some initial blood tests. And said we should take her back to her vet for further analysis, you know, x-rays, more blood tests, whatever. No, they didn't do x-rays, they just did blood tests. And so we left. Well, that our vet opens at 8:30, and it was before that. So we tried to ring and rang back just as they opened, and then we brought her in right away. And they put her on a drip because she was severely dehydrated since she hadn't been able to keep anything down for a couple of days. And so they put on a drip and did x-rays, and they found an area that looked strange on the x-ray. They thought that she might have, pancreatitis. But they thought that to be safe, they should do an ultrasound, which meant then the next day I'd go and pick her up and take her back to the emergency vet, which is also a veterinary specialist group. They only take referrals from other vets. So we brought her in. And they did an ultrasound, and 2 of them came out right away to say, it's actually quite serious. And the actual surgeon was going to have to consult, and he was in the middle of doing brain surgery, of all things, and would bring me later. But our vet wanted to know if we would consider leaving her there, because they also had 24-hour nursing care for animals that were operated on or sick or whatever. And I said, absolutely, you know. She said, the problem is it costs a lot more than at your vet. And I'm thinking, what's cost got to do with it? You know, you have to do these things. So I left her there and went home. And then the vet eventually rang, the surgeon, and said that the ultrasound had found a blockage in her intestine, which is something that our normal vet had suspected could be the case. And it was sort of triangular shaped, he said. But he was concerned that it had ruptured her intestine and given her peritonitis, which is an inflammation of the abdominal cavity, and that worst case scenario, he might have to remove part of her intestine. And it also found two nodules on her spleen, so they were going to investigate all that. And that day, they're going to do it urgently because without surgery, she would die. So they did the surgery that afternoon, and what they found was that it was a piece of bark about, like a bark mulch, which was about maybe 3 centimeters along the longest side, sort of triangular shaped, 2.5, 3 centimeters, somewhere in there, which is, what, about an inch or so, a little more than an inch. Anyway, and so they removed that and repaired her intestine and all that. It had not ruptured. She did not have peritonitis, so we were sweet with that. But they did remove her spleen because of the polyps. The reason being that if it turned out to be cancerous, then they would have to go back in and take it out anyway. So this was less traumatic to just do it now rather than open her up again. And dogs can live without a spleen if it wasn't cancerous, so that wasn't an issue either. So they did all that, and they kept her overnight. And in the morning, she ate a little bit for them. And we came and picked her up about 5:30, I think, that afternoon, evening, whatever, and brought her home. And we were under instructions. She wasn't to jump on anything, or run, actually, even, for two weeks. So we brought the mattress in from our guest room and put it on the floor of the lounge and slept in there so that she wouldn't have to jump up on the bed, because we knew we couldn't stop her from doing that. And the first night she was really dopey because she's on painkillers. But she did well, and she's been getting better every single day. Her appetite is good. She's been acting normal in virtually every respect. And so it's been a really good thing. And the vet rang back on Saturday morning, because they just got, in fact, it was a week after she first started getting sick. And to say that they'd gotten the test results back, and it was not cancer. So she was in the clear, and he also confirmed that she did not have pancreatitis, as had first been suspected. It was just this blockage. And but she's doing remarkably well. She's now due to have her stitches out, as a matter of fact. And so we have to do that and keep her on a bland diet for another few days up until Tuesday of next week, which is the second week since she had her surgery. But it was very trying, and I didn't realize how stressful it was until the surgeon rang back after the surgery to say everything went well, because I got all the information, got off the phone with him, and I burst into tears because I was just so relieved that things had gone well. And I hadn't realized how much under stress I was until then. And I shared a lot of this on Facebook with my personal page. And I thought about it before I did it. I hesitated because I thought, oh, I know there are people who don't like to hear about this sort of thing. But I thought, there are people who know me personally. And, of course, there are also family members and friends of ours on Facebook who know Sunny and adore her nearly as much as we do. And they'd want to know about all this going on, too. And so I thought, I'm just going to go ahead and share it, and whatever happens, happens. And as it turns out, we got a lot of really positive and supportive messages, which was great. But there, too, I didn't realize how much good that did for me until I actually saw them. Because I wasn't really thinking about people commenting. I mean, yeah, in the back of my mind, I thought, yeah, people are probably going to like this, or they'll leave a nice comment or whatever. And they did. But I wasn't really thinking about that as a goal or whatever. I was just thinking, I was aware that they would do that. And when they did, it turns out it really actually meant quite a lot. So I think in future I'll be a little less reluctant to post things like that, because not everything is a meme or a funny cartoon or an interesting article or whatever. You know, sometimes life events happen too, and they're worth sharing, which is why I'm talking about it here as well. So that was our drama over the past week or so. Since I last recorded, I've also been sick. I actually had a couple of couple more gout attacks, but in my feet, not my hand. And I also was really sick. I had a cold that lasted a good week. And I also had more periodontal surgery, what is probably the last soft tissue flap surgery between my my gum and my wisdom tooth. I only have one wisdom tooth. And so that's done. And now I have to go to a regular dentist, and my periodontist wants him to add points of contact or something or other between my back molars and then the next one up, or on the one side between my wisdom tooth and the back molar, because he thinks that food is getting trapped in there and causing problems. So that's on the agenda. And then I can start looking at any cosmetic procedures I might do, whatever they may be. I don't know. We'll see. But that's what I've been up to. And I've been doing Labor Party stuff as well. And that's been a bit trying. But I don't really want to talk about it because it's not that interesting. Although I did organize a public meeting with one of our Labor Party MPs on Monday. His name is David Parker, and he's what is called a buddy MP, which means that he is the he sort of helps look after our electorate, since we don't have a Labor MP in our electorate. And so he comes up a couple times a year and meets with us. Well, last time was at our annual general meeting at the start of the year, and he wants to get here at least once before the end of the year, and this was an opportune time. And rather than just have him come to a meeting, we thought it would make more sense to basically use him as a resource and to invite our members to come out and hear him, and members of the public too. And so we'll see how that turns out. I have no idea how many people are going to show up. I don't know if it's going to be a lot or a few. We'll see. And I'll probably report about it if it isn't too long until my next podcast. Speaking of podcasts, this is just sort of an interesting aside. I'm friends with Matt Baum on Facebook. Matt Baum did the Marriage News Watch videos on YouTube, and then later the ones for American Foundation for Equal Rights. And he now has his own podcast called The Sewers of Paris, where he talks with gay men about things in pop culture that played a significant role in their lives. And the thing he linked to was a study about podcasting, and it found that about 50%, roughly half of Americans have heard of podcasts, but only 17% have ever actually listened to one. And that's abysmal, but it is up. It's about doubled since 2008. But that still says that the audience for these things is still quite small, which is a shame, because there's a lot of really diverse voices that are engaged in podcasting. And it's a shame that more of them aren't being heard. And it's also a shame that some of us don't do anything to be heard. But anyway, I don't know if that's going to change. I started my YouTube videos, as I said I would last time, and I sort of suspended them. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that, which I may talk about in the future once I figure out how I'm going to redo them. So I'm going to re-relaunch, if that's a word. And yeah, I'll talk about that more when that time comes. But those are the basic things that are going on right now here and with us, and some of the things that we've been up to. I don't know how regular I'm going to be. I could be back as early as next week, or it could be 5 months. Who knows? It'll be an adventure. We'll see what happens. But that's it for today and this week and the past 5 months, the season. Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye.
You can comment on this or any episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com, where you can also leave a voice message. You can send me an audio message through Audioboo or Skype, where my username is Amrens, and you can email me, with or without a voice message, at Arthur, that's ARTHUR, at amrenspodcast.com. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.